morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you are listening to, I don't know, how do you want to describe this,
Alex? Well, this isn't an episode.
If anything, this is episode 137.1 of Comic Conversations. This isn't a full-blown episode. Originally, it was going to be me and Dave, but me and Dave went to WrestleMania weekend, and we thought, oh, we'll do the show then there live. But Dave hadn't read the week's comics, and I didn't bring my equipment because Dave didn't tell me one way or another where we're going to do the show. And honestly, we just didn't have the time, so we were going to do a show anyway. So I got back, I think, today's Tuesday. I got back yesterday, and I just had time to sleep, and here it is Tuesday right before the show drops. And I don't know. I still may, if I have time before, you know, before I go to bed, I may do a show. But if not, this is probably going to be a show just probably for the iTunes listeners. So I don't know if I'm going to even post this on Half Guarded, so that's something to take into consideration.
Just to let you know that we're not doing a show.
Yeah, we haven't quit the show. It's just we just decided everything seemingly fell through. Me and
Alex, you guys went to Mania. I was moving.
So we were all super busy. Even then, when I was probably going to do a show to do, I got to talking to you, and I'm like, I was having a good time talking to you. So I was like, the plan wasn't to necessarily do a show after Dave decided he wasn't going to have time to read this week's book. So I was just like, maybe not do a show, maybe do a quick, 30 minute solo show. So, there's not a whole ton of news to talk about, right, Alex?
No, we kind of looked briefly because I obviously hadn't looked anything up and there's really nothing. I saw a lot of advanced reviews for Black Panther. Apparently that book is going to be good.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that.
And it's written by an actual writer.
What do you mean by that?
Like he's, let me see if I can get his name.
Oh, good luck trying to pronounce that. I already saw the guy's name.
I believe he may be an Afrikaan.
Oh, okay, nice.
Ta-Nehisi?
Ouch. Say that three times fast.
We're never going to be able to say that. No, but he is apparently a real writer. I'm trying to look up, like a writer of, you know, prose, not.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. When I first saw his name announced, I've never heard him before. So I just assumed, well, even if the book's not good, it's going to sell well because the movie's a couple years around the corner. So it's going to, we've seen in several instances where if it's got a movie property, it'll sell at least a decent number.
Okay, he is, Wikipedia says, an American writer, journalist, and educator, national correspondent for The Atlantic, where he writes about cultural, social, and political issues, particularly as they regard African Americans. So I think a pretty good fit for Black Panther.
Yeah.
Since, you know, he's a black king.
Well, he is now, since Secret Wars. Because before, remember, he had not been the king of Wakanda. He was the king of the dead.
Well, yeah.
And then so I think in the Hickman run, they sort of undid that, too, where all the Panthers turned on him.
Oh, and the writer's father was a former Black Panther. not
the Samira.
Know. No, the real Black Panthers. So, I don't know. It's the interesting thing about this is he's a political guy. So, what will it be a political book? It should be somewhat because he's a king.
Yeah, and but the thing is, it's like, what stories are you going to tell as a solo Black Panther? Whereas if you do political stories, you got something to work with. That's that to me. If that's the book, then I see them having a hook, and you know that'll be something that I could see us coming back to. And it to me, it'd be one of those things to where maybe it'd be so foreign, I wouldn't get agitated like as I often do when they talk about I guess national politics and comic books. So I maybe could divorce, you know, the policies away from it and just enjoy the book.
I don't know. I'm reading some disturbing things about this guy. It notes he is an atheist and a feminist. He is a male feminist.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
And as long as we're talking news, did you still want to talk Black Panther? Because I kind of sort of want to transition to our next news story. We had the big solicitation for the Dead No More. We had some of the images where they showed what appeared to be Captain Stacy, maybe a Gwen Stacy. And I think they showed a couple other characters, but it's over the weekend.
Doc Ock.
We got the big reveal. It's Doc Ock. Yeah, they showed...
Which
We'd seen Rhino, we'd seen the lizard, but yeah, it was Doc Ock. But I'm still kind of skeptical because I'm 100% sold on it.
Well, they've been teasing that he's coming back in Amazing.
That's true. And then also,
he's in the robot.
Yeah, and here's another thing to consider. When you look at the solicitation, it says fall 2016. So we have plenty of time for Slott to set all this stuff up.
Yeah, they could build it properly.
Okay. Yeah, because when I first saw Doc Ock, I'm like, wow, that's kind of quick. I don't understand how they're going to go from him being in the robot, kind of a babyface character, to immediately a heel. But between now and the fall, I'm sure they have time to set that up.
Oh, yeah. Slott knows how to build.
And then there's, like, I think other fringe stories that I saw that, you know, the headline caught my attention, but once I started reading it, it was something where, well, there's no story here. Because first I saw, the first big story was IDW publishing New Mutants. So my first thought was they were going to tell new stories. And then I think Dave was kind of, you know, he talked to me on Facebook. He kind of maybe thought, well, there's going to be stories that are out of continuity.
Well, but Marvel, are you sure it's the Marvel New Mutants?
It is in fact the Marvel New Mutants, but here's the thing. They're not new books. It's just an anthology that IDW is publishing.
Oh, they've been doing that for Marvel.
Oh, okay. That was news to me.
Yeah, it's really weird. You'll occasionally see Marvel books coming out from other publishers when we look through comic lists, and I always thought it was weird. I don't understand why Marvel wouldn't just do it themselves.
Well, it's maybe one of those things, especially with New Mutants. There's not a huge fan base for New Mutants, so the fact that maybe an IDW is willing to publish it, they're willing to take the hit if it doesn't sell well.
I wonder if they have to pay Marvel for the rights.
I'd imagine they do. Like, I'm sure they pay the rights for every other book they publish, because predominantly IDW does with licensed material, so that's why I thought it was a perfect fit. But when I saw these are just republished old stories, I was kind of bummed, because I was kind of hoping either these were going to be stories out of continuity, or these are going to be stories that were in continuity, but way back in the past. So I was kind of bummed out when these are just old stories that they're just reprinting.
Huh.
And as long as we're on the bane of all things New Mutants, and I know you don't like to talk this, Alex, but there's talk of a New Mutants movie, and people are kind of speculating that it might be, you know, the Cannonball Sunspot cast. But nothing's set in stone, so I'm thinking maybe they might go with, you know, a Deadpool kind of thing. So I was kind of excited for like a day or two, and then I got bummed out. I'm like, oh wait, there's nothing set in stone. So I'm like, oh, forget it.
I'm going to say something that might be controversial here. The X-Men are not actually popular enough to support everything they're doing. Because I mean, if you look at the money, say, Avengers makes. Now I know Avengers is a bigger deal. It's got bigger cast. But you compare it to, like, you know, the recent X-Men movies, they're not even in the same league. Like, the last X-Men movie probably made as much as what the Superman Batman movie made in a weekend.
See, that's what I was going to bring up, my point I was going to make. Yeah, it's not as over as all the stuff that Marvel Studios still owns, or that Marvel still owns the rights to. But I think it's comparable, if not even, I think their brand is more over than whatever they're doing at DC.
But, like I said, the Superman Batman movie, it didn't get well reviewed, but it made more money.
Oh, okay.
Now, Deadpool has done incredibly well, much better than anyone expected, helped by the fact that it wasn't the most expensive movie on Earth to make.
No.
I mean, it wasn't cheap, but they made it cheaply for what it was, and it's done incredibly well, but it had a gimmick. It was rated R, which I think did some good for it, because we've had comic book movies that were rated R and well-reviewed, but how many well-reviewed superhero movies that were rated R?
Yeah, and I was skeptical going forward, because the thing I kept droning on and on about was, you read a Deadpool comic, it's PG-13. Why is the movie R? But I guess it was a big enough
for something different.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right. It was something different enough. It was a draw. It was a gimmick, and it worked. So all the more power to them. So I think that's gonna do it for our news. Did you have any opportunity to read anything this week? I mean, no, I realize you were moving a one on. And this is still not a traditional show. This is, like I said, this is a point one show, so.
No, I carried a fucking piano upstairs yesterday, though.
I read this week's books. Aside from Cap being young again, and that book we were sort of teasing at the end of last show, the Power Lines book being bad, nothing really stood out.
How did they explain Cap being young again?
He was fighting Crossbones in a bowling alley because everybody was trying to find the little girl that was the Cosmic Cube. Luckily, yeah. Steve found the little girl first. And I guess
she made him young.
Yeah, she made him young because he was having his head beaten by, Crossbones, and I guess the little girl didn't want to see Cap die, so she made him young again.
Did they immediately cut to a scene of Sam Wilson screaming no?
No.
They should have done that.
If anything, the Bucky was, you know, thrilled with it, and Cap was, I guess Cap, you could still sort of say, was just sort of, he was just there. Which sort of actually is his entire run so far on this book, the Sam Wilson Captain America.
Yeah, he's just there. He exists, and now he's made completely irrelevant by the real Cap coming back.
And they made the biggest deal about this, what's his name, Joss Whedon telling that backup story in this issue of Captain America.
And it was nothing?
It was three pages, and it was mainly action. It was nothing.
Well, you gotta advertise whatever you can. Just try to get some sales.
Yeah.
They should have just put on the cover, real Cap is back. They just had that be the thrust of the book. I wonder how it'll sell.
Yeah, if anything, the cover was, it sort of mocked the original Captain America where he's, you know, Captain America's punching Hitler. But they did the thing where Sam's punching, Steve. I'm like, does this make Steve Hitler?
Well, that's an homage.
I know, but still, it's just like, well, are you trying to say that Steve's Hitler now? I don't get it.
Steve's been pretty cool with Sam. He likes Sam. He was a sidekick for years. Mm-hmm. You know, after Bucky.
I feel like we're going to go down the list of other people that are more over than Wilson.
And you know what the funny thing is? I like him as a character. It's just he's not Captain America. That's the whole problem. And he never will be, because Captain America is still there. Kill off Steve, he can be Captain America. Until then, no.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm looking at this week's books. Justice League of America, do you want me to spoil that for you?
Yes.
Okay, because it had kind of a, not a huge ending, but it had something of an ending. Superman died. Which,
oh.
I don't know how they're going to square that away.
Oh, here's some news. Jonathan Hickman tweets, DC editors, you can stop emailing me. The answer is yes.
Oh, we talked about this last week.
Oh, did we come out and say he's doing Legion, maybe?
Yeah.
Because what we said was, if he writes Legion, then we will read that. I would be super hyped. But the thing is, this doesn't indicate he's doing Legion. It just indicates he might be working for DC.
I don't know why people speculate it was going to be Legion. Like, I've seen all the news stories. I'm like,
because he's talked about it in the past. Like, I guess he's a big fan of the Legion of Superheroes. It was the first comic he ever read.
Yeah, but he's also a fan of New Mutants, and Marvel didn't stick him on that.
But this is DC, and Hickman's kind of a name, so I imagine they let him write whatever he wants, and if he wants to write a series that isn't, you know, currently a big deal, they would probably do that. That's a great way to get a series over, especially a series like Legion of Superheroes, because you've got 8 billion characters. Like, if it catches on and it's a hit, how many spinoffs can you do?
Yeah, but if you read the tweet, it seems like it's something geared toward an event.
Well, DC Rebirth.
That's what I'm thinking. He may not be on permanently. They may bring him just to do a big event, and that's it.
I don't think so. I think they'd want to get more mileage out of him.
Maybe they'll do both.
And also, this is some wishful thinking. I just really like to read Hickman do Legion for, you know, 5 years.
I like to read Hickman doing anything DC. Honestly, I want to see him do anything superhero-wise, because, you know, he's one of these guys where I read his Image stuff, and it's fine, but really, I feel like he needs, like, an editorial person to sort of, like, maybe steer him in a certain direction, because his, you know, his Image stuff is good, but it's not great. Whereas all of his Marvel stuff tends to be really great.
You used to really like East West.
I did, but then it's one of these things to where, you know, I don't know why all of his books are just sporadically coming out now. Like, East to West hasn't come out in like 2 months. Manhattan Projects, I think it's been 3 months and we had one issue. And Dying in the Dead, I got you to read that one issue way back when, a couple months ago, 2, 3, 4 months ago?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
But still, how long ago was that? That was like 4 months ago, right?
Yeah, I don't know. So it was a while ago.
It feels like maybe 6 months ago.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Oh, okay. But you have to keep bringing, but that's sort of my point is, you know, his Image stuff is fine, but I feel like he's great when he's doing something with superheroes and he's maybe under the watchful eye of somebody.
I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. Maybe he just had a more, he knew more of the story he was going to tell.
That's true. Okay. I think that's going to do it as far as, our comic book section of the show. And I guess we're going to go to next week's books. We already have a list made out for next week's books. So like I said, I'm still not entirely sure we're going to post this on Half Guarded, but for sure it's going to be on our iTunes gimmick. Do you want to list off the next week's books, Alex?
Did you write them down?
Yeah, of course I wrote them down.
Yeah, you better do it because I didn't write them down.
Okay, that's fine. We have Archie, Providence, Sheriff of Babylon, Swamp Thing, Discipline, a book that you weren't even entirely sure on, Alex, Gold King Alliance.
Gold Key? Okay, so here's the deal.
Oh, it's Gold King. Oh, okay, I haven't read it.
Gold Key. No, because they're the old Gold Key characters. Magnus, Robot Fighter, Turok, the Dinosaur Hunter, Solar, Man of the Atom. There's two other ones in there. Can't remember who they are. But the thing I was pointing out to Fat Man is some of these characters, they were acquired by Valiant in one of the Valiant runs because there have been three iterations of Valiant. And at one point, they owned some of these characters. They don't own them anymore. Dynamite has the Gold Key characters now. They have all of them. And they've been publishing books of all of them. Like Solar had a mini and Turok has an ongoing. I think Magnus Robot Fighter got an ongoing. I'm not sure. But yeah, they have all these characters and I guess they just decided, oh, well, let's put them all together. The weird thing about this is Magnus Robot Fighter lives in the future. Turok obviously lives in the past. Solar lives in present day, I think. And then they have like a Doc Samson character who would live in a different period of the past. So none of these characters should be coexisting, but they're putting them on a team together.
Go figure.
So that might be interesting.
And I told Alex, I'll give it a try. You see, when you first brought it over,
it's a 5-issue mini.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm going with the speculation that if I don't like it, first issue in, I'm dropping it cold. I don't care if it's five issues in. I'm not going to just justify reading it just because it's only 5 issues. If I don't like it first issue, I'm dropping it cold.
It's something new to try.
Yeah. Speaking of new things to try, we have a book from Image called The Fix by Nick Spencer.
It might be Nick Spencer and the other guy who did Superior Foes. I'm not positive on that.
I don't even know if Comicless will have that for us.
I thought I read something about that.
Okay, let's see. I'll try doing this very quickly on the fly. If anything, we'll wait for next week's show to do it proper. Let's see. The Fix. It's not working. Comic List has it as The Fix, but you look at the title and it's called The Fix.
Yeah, well.
Let's see Liber. We have Liber is... No, that's the artist. I don't see anything as far as creative on this book.
Spencer is definitely writing it.
So that's probably going to be good.
Yeah.
Okay, what else do we have for next week's books? We have Walking Dead from Image. And I believe that's going to do it for the Image portion of next week's show. Tons of Marvel stuff. Black Panther, as we previously discussed. And as long as we're talking all things Black, Black Widow. And a book that you kind of had to sell me on because it was a Mark Miller book, so I thought it either could be good or bad. But next week we have Empress.
I liked the write-up on this because the whole thing they're pushing is Mark Miller has determined sci-fi has gotten too dark. So he wants it to be fun again. And,
ooh, that'd be cool with that.
You know, a lot of Mark Miller's stories aren't really fun anymore.
Well, Huck's
so, Huck is. But even Huck had, like, you know, women getting beat up and stuff.
True. All right, from there we have Iron Man, Invincible Iron Man. Now, I know you dropped it, and I thought we dropped it, but I'm sure Dave's going to want to read it. And depending what kind of week I have, I may read it as well, so we may do a full review on that. Old Man Logan, that's probably a good contender for Book of the Week, until I see what's later on down the list. Scarlet Witch, Spider-Man, the Miles Morales book, Spider-Man 2099, Spider-Woman Alpha, a book I kind of had to convince Alex to read, and we'll see how the week goes, but we'll probably review that. Star Wars Poe Dameron. Now, I thought we agreed to drop all the Star Wars book, but because
first issue.
Okay, first issue, we'll give it a try.
Over character. He might be gay. That's the rumor. I don't know. I have no idea what they're basing that on. I just remember when they're like, are him and Finn gay? And I watched the movie and I never really got that sense. It's neither showed any sort of, you know.
If anything, you watch that movie and you think Finn's trying to get at Rey.
They're asexual. Like there's no period in those movies where either of them shows any sexual interest in anyone. But the internet decided, oh, well, they're one of them's, and one of them probably is gay. Cause it's 2016. You gotta have a gay character.
Yeah, you got an African American character in there. You might as well just, you know, have one of them.
If I would do it, I would make Poe the gay one because he's cooler than Finn. I liked Finn as a character. But he's kind of a bitch. Like, you know, he's not the bravest guy. He's not the toughest guy. He tries hard. I don't think you should make that the gay guy. You should make the gay guy the really capable one, like Midnighter.
Yeah.
It's like Midnighter is the best gay character because he beats the shit out of everyone. It's like, oh, dude, see, gay people don't have to be pussies. This guy fucking kicks everyone's ass. That's what you got to do. That's how you change stereotypes.
There you go. All right. Uncanny Avengers. And I'm sure a book that's no doubt going to be a contender for Book of the Week. Vision. And to round out next week's books, we have Ninjak. So that comes out to 21 books. Some of these, like I said, we may or may not read, so. But this is what we usually do on average week, 20 some odd books, so this is per the usual. We're not as lucky as we've been, I guess, at the last 2 or 3 weeks where we've had maybe, what, 12, 15, I think even this week we only had 10 books, so. We can only get lucky so many times. But then again, looking at this kind of list, there's a lot of good stuff, so it may not be a drag. I may actually enjoy myself reading all these books this week. Okay. Is there anything else we wanted? You know, this is sort of a free flowing show, so there's nothing set in stone.
I got nothing else because there really wasn't a lot of comic news, and I haven't read any comics. So
yeah, and if you're you know expecting me to recap the adventures of me and Dave at WrestleMania weekend, I kind of want to wait that for next week's show. That way we have Dave here too. So you know, I could tell all these stories about Dave, but you'll get one sided. I'd rather have Dave here. And we can
I heard he got shitty drunk and you had to carry him to his car.
that's the tease for next week's show.
That sounded awesome.
it was. Like, I kept telling Dave, it's one of these things to where, at the time it was a pain in the ass, but I'm like, I know, just give it like a little bit more time, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna
was
be fun.
Was he an angry drunk?
No, he was just, he's one of these guys to where he never drinks. You know, he's a pretty straight-laced guy. But you know, it was Mania weekend, he was having fun. And he wanted to let loose, and he decided to drink. But the thing is, he hadn't eaten before because we were on a, you know, it's Mania weekend. We're all on vacation. We stayed up late, and we had to try to make it to this Evolve show at noon. So we were kind of rushing, so we hadn't eaten. So not only had he not drank in forever, but he was doing it on an empty stomach. And if you haven't met Dave, he's kind of a short guy. I think we talked about that before on the show, but he's kind of a short guy. So it made for, you know, a perfect storm of him just being completely messed up.
Wait, I have to read you something funny. Since we were briefly talking about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this opening segment from SmackDown.
This will be good.
World Heavyweight Champion Roman Reigns kicked off SmackDown to a big reaction, mostly boos. Reigns cuts a promo similar to Raw about how he's the guy, not a good or bad guy. AJ Styles comes out to a big pop and they trade promos. Reigns talks down to AJ and leaves the ring with AJ looking on, which sets up AJ Styles and Antonio Cesaro versus Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. So Roman Reigns, the champ, is just in the ring. He talks shit to the more popular challenger And then the main event is set between people who are not Roman Reigns. This guy is so not over. They don't even let him wrestle on TV. I love this company right now. It's fucking fascinating, the things they will do.
It's like a car crash. You know, it's
like we got this guy as champ and he's not really over. So we're not going to use him that much. So why the fuck does he have your belt? John Cena used to be on like Raw was 3 hours long. John Cena would be on a fucking hour of the show. He'd cut a 20-minute promo. He'd have a 20-minute match. He'd probably do a run-in somewhere. He'd have backstage stuff. He's all over the goddamn show. Reigns, he comes out at the start, and then he disappears.
He can't talk. He can barely wrestle. He's one of these guys to where, I mean, you know why they're doing it, why they maimed the guy, because he, you know, the connections, and he's got the look. But other than that, it's like, he's, even though, like I said, at the time, I was no big fan of John Cena. This is a guy that makes me pine for John Cena, that wants John Cena to be the champion again.
A lot of people. I've actually read the theory that the entire reason they're pushing Reigns is so people appreciate John Cena. And when they bring him back, he'll get cheered. Which I don't think it's true, but it's awesome if it's true.
It's funny to speculate, yes.
The only problem is once they finally got rid of Reigns, people would start booing Cena again.
Well, they still do, so.
It wouldn't work. Yeah, they'll probably still boo him. If those two have a match, they'll probably just boo both of them. It'll be like the Randy Orton Cena match.
All right,
dude. Oh, I can't wait until Orton comes back, by the way, to have fucking boring matches.
Yeah, that's, well.
Good times.
Should I pull a Dave and just sort of just, you know, hint at something?
You know he's coming back?
Nah.
Sources?
Yes, sources. I know how I'll do it. I'll tell you off air, Alex. All right, you're sort of cutting in and out now. I think now's as good a time I need to cut the show off.
Yeah, you probably should. We're just talking about wrestling now.
Yeah, I know. So from all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out the show. And as always, see you guys next week. Adios.